Good afternoon, everyone. And happy Sabbath to all of you. Okay, so I would like to first of all thank all of you for the privilege of hosting me here from Ghana. And I want to thank Ben for hosting me in his house, in his home. It's really a blessing to be here. I bring you warm greetings from our brethren in West Africa, Ghana. I bring you greetings from our elder, Mr. Miselebe, and Mr. Akins, and all the deacons in Ghana. They extend their greetings and their love and their support to all of you. And before I delve into the sermon today, I would like to also provide you with an update of what we are currently doing in Ghana, in terms of the work in Ghana. I joined the church 15 years ago. I was baptized 15 years ago, and I was ordained as a deacon 3 to 4 years ago. And when I joined the church, we were around 20 to 25. And by God's grace, and through the work and dedication of Paul Moody and Benjamin Light, we've moved from 20 to 25 to around 350 in all our church areas in Ghana. And that is something that we are really proud of, and we are really grateful and thankful to God. We are still growing. We're still a church that is growing. Through your support and your prayers, we also provide scholarships to students, like brilliant and but needy students. We try to provide them with scholarships as well. We've been able to secure a church building for the Accra congregation. Again, through your support, through your prayers, and through your dedication, we've also secured additional 2 church buildings in other villages as well. And, you know, despite the challenges in Ghana, the work is still ongoing. We are preaching the gospel through radio programs as well in local dialects. And quite recently, we were able to translate the fundamental beliefs into our local dialects to be distributed to all our villages and then throughout Ghana as it permits. So I thank you so much for your support. And on behalf of the people and the congregation of Ghana, we are really grateful for your prayers and for your support and for your love. And to be honest, Benjamin Light and Paul Moody have done a great service to our brethren in Ghana, and this is something we should be thankful for. So thank you so much for that. I mean, right after service, I could give you more in-depth, you know, have that discussion with you on what the progress of the work is in Ghana, if you are really, really interested. So thank you so much for that. All right, so I would like to delve into the sermon for today. And I would like us to turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. By the way, I haven't introduced myself properly, right? So before I delve into it, my name is Adamu Billy, and I'm almost, I'm married to a wonderful, beautiful wife called Grace. I got married last year, and my wife is having a baby soon, which I'm really, really looking forward to. It's a baby boy, and I'm really quite excited about that. I'm looking forward to holding my baby. And so I'm a project manager. Aside the work that I do, I work with an international trade and development organization based in the Netherlands as a project manager. So that is it, you know, about me. I could give you more details after service. I don't want to take much of your time, but this is just a little bit about me. I'm from Ghana, I'm from West Africa, and I live in Accra, the capital city of Ghana. For those of you who know Ghana very well, I live in the capital city, but of course, we do have the opportunity to serve other brethren across all our villages in Ghana. So that is a little bit about me. So let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the 9th hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb, and I want us to notice that he wasn't lame after birth. He was lame in his mother's womb. Was carried, whom they laid daily at the gates of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. In verse 3, and who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Verse 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Take a look at us. Verse 5, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And for me, when I was getting converted, these scriptures actually had an impact in my life. Right? And there are two things that I actually picked from the last verse in verse 6. Silver and gold I do not have. And by the way, that's the title of my message, Acts chapter 3, verse 6. You know, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give unto you. And two things I picked from this verse in verse 6. And that is the recognition of what God has entrusted into Peter's hand. Peter could recognize that God has given him something, right? He could recognize that he had a gift, and there was the need to use it at that particular time. And that's really, really, really important. Another translation for what I have means what has been entrusted to me. Okay, what has been entrusted to me? So Peter could recognize what has been entrusted to him. That is the first thing. That's the first lesson I picked from this verse. And the second lesson, you can see that this man was expecting alms, right? That's what he was expecting. He was expecting something to be given to him. But Peter didn't give him that. He said, I don't have it. I don't have what you are requesting for. But what has been entrusted to me, I pass it on to you, right? So the principle here is that God's Spirit do not give us what we want, right? It gives us what we need, and that is what the layman needed at that particular moment in time, right? So we have to learn to exercise God's Spirit to the benefit of everyone. And Peter actually gave him a greater gift. He gave him his life, and he gave him his health back. Well, somebody will say that this actually applies to the apostles, but there's a principle in it that personally I believe that what can we do, what can we give other than silver and gold, right? What if I don't have what you want, but I can give you more than what you want, which is what you need? In other words, exercising God's Spirit to the benefit of everyone. And sometimes, you know, brethren, what we need isn't often pleasant. What is required for our growth isn't always, you know, pleasant, but it is required. And I want us, let's continue in verse 12, Acts chapter 3, verse 12. Acts chapter 3, verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? So Peter could recognize what has been entrusted to him by God that he was able to use and exercise to the benefit of this young man. And then he began to preach to them. If you jump to verse 16 of Acts chapter 3, he says what? And in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Well, the principle here is, what do I have? Or what has God entrusted to me that can be of benefit to other people? Am I an impact in somebody's life? Am I using and exercising God's Spirit in the right way? Am I being a blessing? You know, God told Abraham that I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. So the purpose of the blessing is to pass it on, The purpose of God's Spirit in our lives is to pass it on, to be a blessing to other people, to strengthen them, to be of comfort, to show love. That is the purpose of God's Spirit in our lives. I mean, we may not be able to perform miracles, but our lives can be of healing to someone. The words we speak, how we treat each other, can be of great blessing to someone. I mean, I came from Ghana. It's true that I came to visit my family, but I have a brethren over here that treat me like brother and sister, and I felt so welcome. And the love that they have shown me is quite tangible, and that is the Spirit of the living God. And all the experiences I've had here will, you know, permanently be ingrained in my mind. Now, I want us to think for a minute. When Peter healed this man, have you thought for one moment how he had so much impact in his mind? I mean, imagine somebody who was crippled from his mother's womb healed. What it's going to do to him? I do believe that that person, or the lame man, was transformed not only physically, but spiritually as well. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Let's turn there. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, it said, "Let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you." So they did recognize what God has entrusted to them, that they were able to pass it on. And by that, they were able to point people to God. And I'll actually get into that. That our gifts and our talents and the Spirit is to be a blessing to people and to point people to Christ, the source of our strength and the source of our blessings. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I want us to know something in John chapter 15, verse 8. John chapter 15, verse 8. Note what it says. "By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you shall be my disciple." I mean, I'm so happy for my brother who gave the sermonette. Sorry, I can't mention your name, but I mean, it's just in line with what I was going to talk today. When you sow a seed and it grows and germinates and start producing fruit, who eats those fruits? Assuming you had a tree, you plant a seed. It germinates, it grows, and it begins to bear fruit. Who eats those fruit? Who partakes of those fruit? Everyone partakes of those fruit. The benefit is to everybody, not only you. And that is the purpose of God's Spirit in our lives, that people will actually take part of the fruit that we bear through God's Spirit. If you jump to verse 16, note what he says. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain." In other words, the product of God's Spirit in our lives is permanent. It has to remain. Our love, the fruit, the patience is permanent. It's something that has to be constant in our lives. And people should see that patience in us. People should see the love in us. I mean, you can't just get up one day and say, "Hey, I feel like loving someone today." You know, "Hey, I feel like praying for someone today." You know, that is not how God's Spirit works. That is not how it's supposed to work. It's something that has to be constant. And that is what the Bible is saying here, that our fruit has to remain. Let's turn to Acts. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38. And I want to start from verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And I want us to note in verse 38, and that is where I want to capitalize on. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, not evil, but doing good throughout his life. Well, somebody will say that, oh, this really applies to Christ. True, it applies to Christ. But the principle is that when we are truly anointed by God, our works indeed will speak for itself. Okay. So who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And brethren, as long as God is with us, we will definitely make an impact in the lives of other people that comes to us, or make an impact in our community, in our marriages, wherever we find ourselves, because we truly have God's Spirit. They could see that Christ indeed was anointed and had the Spirit, and he went about doing good. There was nothing evil said about Christ because God was with him. And brethren, if God is with us, we will do good. It's not some goods, but our life will be an example for others. And we will bear the fruit so that others will see and glorify our Father, which is heaven. The Bible says that let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So the question is, I mean, you may not be able to perform miracles, but are you a healer? Do you do good? Do people find comfort in you? Are you a blessing to your fellow brother? In Romans chapter 8, if you could turn there, Romans chapter 8, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to 14. Romans 8, verse 12 to 14. So it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. In verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of the living God. It says, if you put to death the deeds of the flesh, in other words, if you are selfless. And I've come to realize that you can't indeed fulfill God's purpose for your life until you learn how to be selfless. Until you put yourself aside and adopt the very Spirit of God. If we are not selfless, we will not be able to be a blessing or make an impact in the lives of other people. So Paul encourages us to, in order to live, we must die. In order to make an impact and to be a blessing, we must die. In order for us to exercise God's Spirit, we must die. We must learn to be selfless. And until we learn to be selfless, we can't actually make a significant progress in our spiritual walk with God, in our relationship with Christ. It says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of the living God. And note in verse 15, it said, for you did not receive the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. What does it mean to live? What does it mean to live? Living is different from existing. Living is different from existing. It says if you don't put to death the deeds of the flesh, you cannot live. And living is different from existing. So many people are existing, but they are not living. If you want to live, you have to put the deeds of the flesh. You will have to put to death the deeds of the flesh in order to live, in order to adopt a certain kind of nature, and which is the life, the character, the personality of Jesus Christ, and be led by that Spirit. Otherwise, you are just existing. You are not exercising God's Spirit in the right way. It's important that we realize that in order for us to live, we must die. And that is why I talked about selflessness. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. Again, this is a messianic prophecy. This applies to Christ and tomorrow's world, but the principle still applies to us as Christians. Because God's Spirit is one. You know, sometimes I don't understand. When I read the Bible, I take it quite personal. And I put myself in that shoe and ask myself, if God could do this, then I can do it. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And most of us here have God's Spirit. We have God's understanding. We have God's character. And not because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Now, how do we preach good tidings to the poor? Well, through the messages, through the broadcast. But our attitude must also be of greater message than the words we speak. And I do recognize that as a church, we've been blessed with spiritual understanding of God's word. But it is one thing to understand the Bible and to connect the dots together. It's one thing to understand that. But it's another thing to actually live it. Okay, and that is where the challenge comes, that we have to live in such a way that men will see. It's another way of preaching the gospel. It's another way of preaching the gospel. And this principle applies to all of us. It said to preach good tidings to the poor. Oh, sorry. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Are you a healer? And Peter recognized what he had and exercised it. Do you recognize what you have and exercise it? To proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. If you jump to verse 3, if you move to verse 3, it says that to console those who mourn in Zion and to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that you may be glorified. This applies to Christ, but ultimately applies to us as well. And we have to exercise God's Spirit in such a way that others can eat of it and be blessed of it, setting the right example and being a blessing to other people. Otherwise, we are not doing what we are supposed to do as Christians. Note in Acts chapter 17, verse 28. In Acts chapter 17, I'm taking you back to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Note what it says. For in him we live and move and have our being. We don't live anywhere else apart from God. See, we have to operate within the precinct of God's law and God's Spirit. We should never aim to operate outside of God's Spirit and God's character. It said, in him we live and move and have our being, as also of your own poet have said, for we are also his offspring. And for me, when I read this, I come to the realization that I have nowhere else to operate than in God. And that is why it's incumbent upon me as a Christian to exercise God's spirit at all times and to be a blessing as God commanded Abraham. I mean, what God commanded Abraham was both physical and spiritual blessing that, you know, extend to all of us as Christians. And we have to learn to exercise. But first of all, you see, if you don't recognize what you have, you can't use it quite effectively. And that is important. And most people do not believe that indeed they have the Spirit of God. But you have it. Because if you don't have the Spirit of God, I'm not sure you'll be here today. Right? But you have to recognize that you have God's Spirit, and then you use it. And exercise it in a way that brings honor and glory and praise to God. And that is what God is expecting of us. That's what God is expecting of us. In Him we live and move and have our being. Not anywhere else, but in God. That is who we are as Christians. Note in Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. Sorry, I'm just... Okay. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 3. Verse 17. It said, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, not some of the things. Whatever we do, we have to learn to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, exercising our faith and operating within the precinct of God's law and God's Spirit. Note in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You could turn there, Ephesians chapter 2. Okay. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Now note what it says. For we have His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Good works, that is a high expectation from God. That's what God really expects from us. Good works, perfect work, and we must aim at doing that to the very best of our abilities. And note that our works were created in Christ Jesus. Note, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, the blueprints are there. We just have to walk in them. We just have to study about God's blueprint and then live it. Because we are His workmanship. We work for God. That is who we are as Christians. We don't work for anyone else. We work for God. And that is where we can drive impact and indeed be a blessing to everyone. Recognizing what we are here for and then using it. Recognizing God's Spirit in our lives and using it in the right way. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, we don't have to manufacture anything else. God has already set the example. Christ has set the example. All that we need to do is to follow. We just have to follow what Christ has done. And how can we do that? Through God's Spirit. Through God's Spirit. In doing good, in being an example, in being lights of the world, praying for one another, loving one another, serving one another, and not taking one another for granted. I recognize that my wife is a gift for me. That's what I recognize. I recognize my God gave my wife to me. God gave my friends to me for a period of time. Okay, and I need to cherish that and never take that for granted, because it's a gift that God has given to me. And we have to learn to exercise God's gift in the right way. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. We can start from verse 2 to 10. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. And note in verse 4. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in need, in distress, in strife, regardless of the odds, regardless of the persecution. We need to commend ourselves as ministers of Christ, regardless of whatever we go through. People still have to see that indeed we have God's Spirit. And we are exercising in the right way. Not even in strife, in imprisonment, in tumult, in labor, in sleeplessness, in fasting. By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, and by sincere love. Love is sincere. And our purity is sure. Note in verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. You know, people may see us as deceivers, and yet we are true. Yet we are true. As unknown and yet well known, as dying. They have to first of all die to self and sacrifice for the church and for the brethren, so that God's work can move on, so that people will be blessed. So as dying, and behold, we live. As chastened, and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Note what he says in the last verse. As poor, and yet making people rich. Now the question is, how can you be poor and still make people rich? That is through God's Spirit and God's power and God's grace upon you. So as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet we possess everything. This is the mentality and the mental attitude that the apostles actually had. And recognizing what they truly had from God's Spirit. And they were willing to go all out for God and sacrifice their lives just to preach the gospel, to be an example, to be a light, to be comfort. You know, Paul always talks about the comfort. He said, the comfort I receive is the same comfort I pass it on to other people. That's what he said. And whatever we receive, we should be willing to pass it on to other people. So as Christians, what should we be exuding now as Christians? What is that thing we should be having as Christians? Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. Paul's command to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Look what it says. It said, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Paul had to remind Timothy that, hey, You have something in you that you need to set it up. You need to put it on fire in order to be able to be productive, in order to be able to do the work. He recognized that Timothy had something that he needs to kind of like stir up. And most of the time we forget. Most of the time I forget who I am. And I do believe that sometimes we forget as well what God has actually implanted in us that we have to use. And we have to learn to stir it up at all times so that we can be effective tool in God's hand in being a blessing. He said, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hand. Note what he says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a love and of a sound mind. That is what we have as Christians. Power, love, sound mind. That is what we should be exuding now. That is what others should be seeing in us. And you know, the word power is dunamis. It's a miracle working power. It's a miracle working power. In other words, we have that capacity to perform miracles. I don't know what kind of miracle I can perform, but I do believe I can perform miracles, and you can perform miracles as well. Because that's what the Bible says, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And according to the Greek word, it's the power given to us to work miracles. To confound our enemies when we have that power, and to support us in trial, and to enable us to do that which is lawful and right in His sight. That is the kind of power we have. Exercising God's grace and power in our lives. Again, the power to work miracles, to confound enemies, to support us in trial, to enable us to do that which is lawful and right in God's eyes. That is who we are as Christians. Now, most of the time, the children of Israel forgot who they are. And God had to remind them and say, hey, remember, I brought you out of Egypt. Remember where you came from. Remember how God called you, how you came into the truth, how you received His Spirit. Don't forget it. Use it. Recognize that you have something in you that I need, that somebody else needs, that, let me be a bit selfish, that Africa needs. But don't forget it, that there is something in you that everyone needs. So God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit of power, but of power and of a love and of a sound mind. Brethren, what is love? What is love? Love is the fulfilling of the law. It's the fulfilling of the law. And you know, sometimes fulfilling God's law may not be pleasant at all, but it is required as Christians. That is God's life. Simple definition, fulfilling of the law. And what is the law? Love your enemies. Keep the Sabbath. Do not steal. And all these things. You know, Paul said that I can have the gift of prophecy, but if I don't have love, it's nothing. I can even give myself to be burned, and if I don't have love, it's nothing. I mean, imagine someone giving his life to be burned and still do not have love. Imagine you doing all the, I don't know how to call it, but giving gifts and being nice and all these things and still do not have love. Paul says it's nothing. And yet God commands us, God tells us that we have not received the spirit of fear, we have received the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So do you have love? Are you growing in grace and in knowledge? Am I growing in grace and in knowledge? Am I exhibiting the very character and nature of God? Do people see that indeed our love is tangible? The Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple, if you have love one for another. I mean, if people really want to see and experience what the love of God is, they should come to God's church. That is where you will experience it. So we should have love. We should grow in love. And your love is tangible. It's easy to say, I love you. It's much more difficult to show it. Okay, we have so many people who have an academic understanding of God's word, but do not actually live it. It's easy to say, oh, I love you, oh, I care about you, but it's actually difficult to show it. And you can only show it through the very commandment, by obeying God's commandment to the very best of your abilities. And exercising that within God's the presence of God's Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, if you could turn there. First Corinthians 13. So when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I taught as a child. But when I became a man, when I fully matured and grown in grace, in knowledge, in understanding, through experience, okay, I throw away or I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I'm also known. Note in verse 13, now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of all these is love. See, when the Bible talks about now abide, it talks about permanency. This is what is the DNA of the church. Okay. This is what we should be exuding as Christians, you know, as people that are truly filled by God and people that are exhibiting God's Spirit and God's nature and God's character. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of all these is love. Do we have love? Do we show it? I do believe we do, because I have experience of love when I came all the way from West Africa, Ghana. But probably there's still more work to be done, I guess. I have to grow more in love, more in fellowship with Jesus Christ, more in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But these are things that we have to be mindful daily, that we need to exude all the days of our lives. Love, faith. And hope. We should never lose hope. We should never lose hope. So I have a 3 point here to share with us about this message. And the first thing, the lessons that I've learned. So the first thing is that every gift God has given to us is for his service, not ours to keep. Every gift God has given to us is for his service. You have to realize that every gift that you have is not for you. It's for his service. It's not ours to keep. So don't sit down on your gift. Don't sit down on the talent that God has given to you. Use it. Use it. So every gift God has given to us is for his service. And Peter exemplified it. He said, silver and gold I do not have. What you are asking for, I can't give it to you. But I have something in me that I'm going to pass it on to you. And that is the Spirit of God. And I'm going to be a blessing to you. And I'm going to transform your life. And that should be the attitude. That is the principle of God's Spirit. I mean, there is a limit to what we can do financially or physically. But there is no, for me, it's like God's Spirit can do far more exceeding and abundant than we can think and, or imagine. You know, when I was coming to the U.S., I prayed about it. I fasted about it. Had issues because of the immigration issue happening in the country. I was a bit scared. You know, and I was like, well, when I prayed, asked God to guide me and to help me make the right choice, whether it was the right time to come or not. So I prayed, I fasted for 3 days. I didn't hear a word from God, not even a sign from him. And I was a bit worried. I'm like, God, please show me if this is the right time for me to travel. I was really looking forward to seeing all of you, but I wasn't sure whether it was the right time to make. And then the day before I traveled, I fasted again. Didn't hear anything. I didn't get to hear any sign. I'm like, okay, God, if you haven't said anything, you haven't shown me any sign, I'm going to take the trip. Right? So I took the trip. And I got to Minneapolis. When I got to Minneapolis, I was detained by the CBP officer. And it was a long story. I was detained for 2-3 hours. And I was like, God, I prayed to you about this. I prayed to you about it. Why are you making me go through all these, you know, challenges? But I had this comfort that God's will be done. And I wouldn't want to go into the detail, but after several questions by the CBP officer, he looked at me and allowed me entry. And that is where I saw God's power and God's mercy and God's grace. So, we have to never give up. Keep trusting in God. We have to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, every gift God has given to us is for his service. It's for his service, not ours to keep. The second thing is that God's gifts must be exercised in his name. God's gift must be exercised in his name, in his authority. In other words, we need to quickly act on God's word. We should never be slacked in obedience. We should be quick at acting on God's word. The third thing is, and which the apostle demonstrated, was that our actions must point people to God, not to ourselves. Our actions must point people to God, not to ourselves. These three points are very, very, very important to recognize. That we are to use God's Spirit in the right way. We have to exercise his gift in the right way. We have to recognize that whatever God gives to us, it is not for our own use. I mean, it's not for us to keep. We have to exercise his gift in his name. And our action must point people to God. So whatever we do, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, I would like to share two scriptures, and then I'll be ending my sermon for today. So let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 17. John chapter 14, verse 17. I will start from verse 15 to 18. I will start from 15 to 17. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. God's Spirit is with us forever, and we have to learn to exercise it and use it. Note in verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But note what he says, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You know God's truth. You know what has been entrusted to you. What are you waiting for? Use it. Exercise it. Stir it up to the benefit of everyone. You know, we are to shine as light, bringing light. We are to shine and bringing light to the dark world. We have to bring hope to the hopeless world that we see. I mean, where there is no love, we should be able to provide love. And we have to be able to perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. For my last scripture, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Hebrews 12, 23. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible where it talks about, I will start from verse 22, where it talks about, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. Now think about that. You have come to Mount Zion. You have come to God's city. That is where you dwell. That is where I dwell. That's where you dwell. You have come to God's city, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Note in verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge and to all of all. And note what he says, to the spirit of just men made perfect. That is who we are. God is working with us and is perfecting us. And we are to make an impact. So those whose attitude and disposition have been perfected by God are the ones that will be in his kingdom. We have to be the very best of the living God. I mean, as part of my conversion, when I was studying about Heben Armstrong, one thing that he said was he never compromised on quality. But quality was something that Heben Armstrong would not compromise on. And I believe that. I believe that. He one time said that character involves two things: self-restriction and self-proportion. In other words, you have to restrict yourself from doing the bad thing, and then you have to drive yourself to do the things that are required by the very Spirit of God. And that is what we must become. Becoming the spirit of just man made perfect. Again, in Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, in verse 6, he says, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, I give to you. What has been entrusted to me, I pass it on to you. And it's my prayer that we will all recognize what we have and then pass it on and be a blessing, just as Abraham was a blessing. Have a wonderful Sabbath. And thank you so much for your warm reception. I really appreciate it. I'm happy to interact with all of you, and I'm really happy to be here and to interact with my fellow brethren on the other side of the continent. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful Sabbath.